Which one? Do you want this one?
All right. Well, thank you, Pastor Tim and Fran. It's interesting, Pastor Tim, what you just said. I have on my notes. I can show you later. But the first two words I wrote, this is a coming home of sorts for Kelly and me. And you just said that. It's in my notes. So I think we're on the same page. We love you guys, too. Absolutely. I did want to share a little bit what Pastor Tim was saying. 4 years ago or so, Tuesday nights at Discover Church was a foundation stone for us in planting the Eastside Vineyard. We started going every Tuesday night, and I mean every Tuesday night. We had just had Faith Sophia, our firstborn, and she was in her little car seat, and we were kind of trading off when she was crying and just doing what babies do. But we felt this calling of going back every Tuesday, every Tuesday, every Tuesday, and it was a priority for us. I encourage you, I'm going to talk about it again in my application, but doing things to build your faith all throughout the week. And if it's coming here, come here, no matter what. Make it a priority, and I'll explain the importance of that. But being here is really a coming home for us. It was interesting. I went to seminary, got my degree and all that, but it wasn't until coming here that I realized, and this is going to sound weird because you have the doctrine down where you believe in God and such, but to really truly believe that God is good all the time. That was something that he said it today and every week he would say, God is good. Right. And he would say all the time, God is good. Right. And I was trying to get the kind of ring there. I couldn't do it exactly, but you hear that over and over and over and over again, and we needed to hear that over and over and over again, that God is good all the time, that God still heals today. It's his will to heal today, and we need to hear that. And so we kept coming every Tuesday, every Tuesday, every Tuesday to hear that. And it's interesting. It took, I don't know how long for me to really start to believe that. Like in the, I mean, obviously you believe it to a certain degree, but to believe it in the core of your being so that it impacts how you live. And that is what Tuesdays did for us. You guys painted a very amazing picture of God, a beautiful picture of God that, again, I believed in my mind, but it didn't really sink in for either of us until we came here. And so it is neat to be back. It is our coming home in many ways. And as he shared, we did plant a church about a year ago, the Eastside Vineyard. We do have cards and such on the back corner. They, as it's shared here, bloom where you're planted. But if you have someone who is not connected to a church, grab one of those info cards, invite cards, and extend an invitation to them. We pray for people. We say it at the end of our service every single week that we are a church that believes in the power of prayer. That's not a cliche. And we pray for healing for people. And God's been doing some stuff, and I'm going to share that. So it's an honor to be here. I'd like to thank Kelly for really nudging me to get a sermon prepped in this crazy time heading up to Christmas, as you can imagine, but it's good to be here. It really is. So what I have here is not something that I recycled. This is something for you guys tonight that I was working on, and I really felt like it's something that God gave to me to give to you. So we'll see what happens with that. So tonight, as we do every week at Tuesday nights, as we're going to teach on healing, my goal is to build your faith. And that's something, it doesn't matter how long you've come here, how long you've been in the faith, we need to grow our faith. We need to build our faith continually. And I want to frame where I'm headed tonight. I'm going to be in Galatians for a bit. If you have a Bible, you can up to Galatians 6 and chapter 5 as well. I want to frame where I'm going tonight in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, a man reaps what he sows. A man reaps what he sows. This is an idea I'm going to go back to again and again. I'm going to apply it to healing and to faith. But before I do, I want to frame it in the context of the verse. So that's in verse number 7. In verse 8, he expands on that. He says, a man reaps what he sows. He says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh they will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And what he does is, I'm going to take it kind of back a bit. He illustrates, and he says, okay, I'm going to explain to you what it means to sow to the flesh or to sow to the Spirit. And so he goes back in verse 19 of chapter 5, and he explains, here's what it means. See, you can sow to please your flesh, you can sow to please your spirit. Again, I'm going to apply us to healing, but I have to put it in context. He says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and this goes on. And he says, those are ways that people, human beings, right, he's writing to Christians there, how they sow to their flesh. And he says, when you do that, when you sow to your flesh, you reap destruction. But thankfully, he doesn't stop there. He goes down to verse 22, and he says, here's ways that you sow to the Spirit. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We know this, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, right? He says, those are ways that you sow to please the Spirit. Those are the ways you sow to your spirit and also to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he says, when you do those things, you will reap eternal life. And by the way, eternal life doesn't begin when you die. It begins now. And it goes into life. We are called to experience life abundant, life to the full, now, into eternity. And so he's saying, when you practice these things, when you sow to the Spirit, not to the flesh, you are going to reap life. Life to the full. Now going back a few more verses, I'm kind of taking you backwards here. He now explains a bit more about how to live this way, and he uses the analogy of walking. He says in verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. They're in conflict with each other. Paul is saying here, he's saying that you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. You can sow in one of two ways, to the flesh or the Spirit. You can walk one of two paths. You can walk the flesh path or the Spirit path. Now, I don't know where this originated from. I was trying to find it in a book that I read going to seminary. I remember they used the analogy of this, and people debate and discuss as a new creation in Christ, your nature and what happens and all of that. But the analogy that I think works is this, based on this, where Paul says that you can sow to the flesh, you can walk by the flesh, you can sow the Spirit, or you can walk by the Spirit. He's saying that it's kind of like this. This is the way people kind of paint the picture. They say it's like you have two dogs kind of inside of you. And both of these dogs are barking. Both of them want to be fed. So whichever one you feed, that's the one that gets bigger. That's the one that barks louder. So if you sow to your flesh, in other words, if you feed your flesh, if you focus on the desires of your flesh, if you give in to your flesh, then guess what? Your flesh is going to dominate your life. Your flesh is going to start barking louder. And things of the Spirit will get drowned out by that barking. God doesn't shout, right? He speaks in that still small voice. And if your flesh is screaming and you're feeding your flesh, that still small voice of God, you won't simply be able to hear it. But he says, if you sow to the Spirit, if you feed your spirit, if you give in to the desires of the Spirit, then guess what? Then the fruit of the Spirit will dominate your life. Again, a man reaps what he sows. So again, I frame this in the context about, he's saying you have one of two ways to sow, flesh versus spirit. But in fact, I believe an application of this verse has to do with healing as well. The concept of sowing, the concept of reaping what you sow has to do with healing. Again, a man reaps what he sows. I believe it's true when it comes to healing. See, here is the reality that we have walked in. So that you can be a follower of Jesus Christ and not pray for people. You can walk the safe path. You can simply just kind of believe, well, that stuff kind of happened back in the days of the Bible, but it doesn't happen anymore. God kind of did that stuff back then, but that's not for today. So when you hear someone is sick, maybe at best you pray that you guide that God guides the surgeon's hands, maybe. But you just pray, you can pray safe prayers at best. Maybe you simply pray that God is with them. But that's as far as it goes. But here's the thing. Here's the challenge. And I love how you asked how many people have, how you prayed for in the past week, and hands are shooting up. See, if you believe in Jesus and you believe in the power of prayer, not in a theoretical sense, because you have to kind of say you do because you're a Christian. It's in the Bible. Yeah, I believe in prayer. But I mean, you pray for people. And you don't just pray safe prayers. You take a risk in praying. God, you need to show up right now. Because, by the way, none of you can heal anybody. We know that, right? It's Jesus simply working through your prayers. He's our healer. He's our Savior. So if you and you're here on Tuesday, so I'm sure this is all of you. But for Kelly and I, when we started coming on Tuesday, this was not us. When we started coming here back, it was in 07. I would say this has not really put us in this category. We didn't pray for people back then. We really didn't believe that. Yeah, well, we said, yeah, well, God might still heal today, but probably not all that much. So that's just kind of where we were. But if you believe in the power of prayer, you believe God still heals today. Not just in theory, but in practice. In other words, you pray that God heals people. You pray that heaven invades earth. We know that in heaven, there is no asthma. There's no MS. There's no leukemia. There's no cancer. There are no need for wheelchairs. No need for breathing machines. There's no need for any of that stuff. And Jesus said to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? We know that. We pray that prayer. So we pray, and you pray for people. You pray that heaven invades earth. You pray that heaven invades a person's body, that the future breaks into the present. You pray those things. And we started doing that. And heaven started to invade people's bodies, and it's awesome. It's awesome. But as soon as you journey down that road, when you begin to pray for people for their complete healing, when you stop praying a safe prayer and you take a risk, here's what you can experience. And again, my goal today is to build your faith. I'm going to take you on this journey here, so hang with me. I want to illustrate this by going about 20 years back in time. Anybody remember the TV show The Wide World of Sports? Hands up, ABC. ABC, Wide World of Sports. I was born in 1973, and I remember that. And every, I don't know, it's like maybe 4 p.m. on a Saturday or something like that, you know, Channel 7. And every single week, they had the overlay and then all these sporting pictures and images. And the announcer said this. He said, spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the human drama of athletic competition, this is ABC's Wide World of Sports. And as the announcer said that, there was image after image of all these athletes doing these amazing things. But there's one line in the intro that I left out. Right in between there, there's the most famous line of all probably, and it was a line of this. The announcer would say, he would say, the thrill of victory and the agony, I heard it, the agony of defeat. And amazing, you can watch on YouTube. I found this. Kelly's like, what are you watching? I was watching these. Each year they have a different version of it. I'm like, this is sermon prep, okay? I'm working on this. But over the years they updated the images, right? But all of them had that line, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. When the announcer said the thrill of victory, you had a boxer, arms in the air, the Olympic hockey team, the U.S. beating the Russians. You had the ice skater doing that like double toe axle loop thing, you know what they do, and just the thrill of victory. But I argue the most memorable image was what you got it when they said the agony of defeat, and you have the image. It's that guy on the ski jump that like barrel rolls off, right? Flips over, skis in the air, takes in like the mesh fencing, his body breaking. You guys, and I watched this. I watched like 5 or 6 times watching images. You're just kind of drawn to that wreck. Burned in our minds, right? The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. See, that is what you experience when you decide as a Christian, I'm going to travel down the road and start praying for people to be healed. You experience the highest of highs and sometimes the lowest of lows, unfortunately. Sometimes you pray for someone, who is in pain. I pray this happens tonight. There's someone who has just a 10 out of a 10 level of pain. And you're going to be prayed for. And that prayer, that pain level is going to go down. It's going to be an 8, it's going to be 5, it's going to be 2, it's going to be 1. I've seen that happen here. That is the thrill of victory. Maybe there's someone who has cancer and they've been battling it for years. And you've been praying and you do this. It's amazing. If people have cancer and you've been healed of cancer, people stand up and that's a testimony. That's a thrill of victory. They come here and they get prayed for and God heals them. That is the thrill of victory. You experience the highest of highs, the thrill of victory. I know for me, this is an interesting part of the homecoming. Tuesday, let's see, November 3rd. Well, it was actually on a Wednesday this year. November 30th is the day I got out of the hospital. It was my anniversary of being released from Troy Bowman after 25 days. And I won't go into the whole story because I don't want to start crying. But it was interesting in this journey. There are people who prayed for me, did prayer drives around Troy Beaumont 7 times like the walls of Jericho, right? And prayed and anointed me with oil, came into our hospital room and prayed. And I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And when I got out of the hospital that final time, they have to put you in a wheelchair. They probably charge your insurance company like $5,000 to do that because you can't walk out. We have to wheel you out on a wheelchair. But I had my arms raised like Rocky Balboa as I got out of there, and Kelly picked me up my PT Cruiser. It was awesome. That is the thrill of victory. Yeah, I felt it, and you felt it. For those of you who prayed for me, that is the thrill of victory. But that's the first half of the wide world of sports quote. See, when you pray for people, sometimes you experience the second half of that statement. Now, I'm not going to dwell on that second half of the statement all that much because my goal is to build your faith tonight, but I want to say this. I've personally prayed for people, and if you've journeyed down the road of praying for people for healing, you've done it too. You've prayed for people, and they weren't healed on this side of heaven. It's the agony of defeat. And again, I'm not going to share any illustrations there because I don't want to camp on that. But we have the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And that is what we experience when we decide as a Christian to travel down the road and begin to pray for people and take a risk, not for our glory, but for God's. We experience the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. So that's just kind of framing where I'm heading. But now I want to start to apply this and give you some and focus most of my time today on applying it. Again, the quote in Galatians 6, verse 7, a man reaps what he sows. When it comes to praying for people to be healed, I want to explain how this ties together now. See, Paul is saying, he says, you have a choice to make. You can sow to your faith, or you can sow to your doubt, your unbelief. Going back to the dog illustration, it's like you have two dogs inside of you in this area of your life. They're both barking. They both want to be fed. Whichever one you feed again gets bigger. Whichever one of you starts to bark the loudest. So if you sow to your doubts, if you sow to your unbelief, in other words, if you feed your doubt, in other words, if in your mind, as you're thinking, you focus on stories of when people aren't healed, if you choose to remember times of your life when prayers were not answered, if you give in to your unbelief, if you focus on the agony of defeat, so to speak, then guess what? You'll be like that skier going down that ramp, and you'll just crash and burn. Doubt will dominate your life. Your doubts will get bigger because your doubts will bark louder. So if you sow doubt, if you sow unbelief, then you will reap what you sow. If you are sowing and that's what you choose to sow, the next time someone is sick, the next time someone needs prayer, and if you're spending all your time sowing doubt into your life, you probably won't pray for them. Or if you do, there won't be any amount of faith attached to that prayer, any amount of passion attached to that prayer, any amount of belief attached to that prayer, because you're sowing doubt. But if you sow, instead of sowing to your doubt, if you sow to your faith, and this is where I'm going to camp on the rest of my time. If you feed your faith, if you focus on stories of people who are healed or who are being healed, if you remember times in your life and the life of others when prayers are answered, if you focus on the thrill of victory, then guess what? You'll win. You'll win. See, faith then will dominate your life. If you sow to your faith, you will also reap what you sow. And the next time someone is sick, the next time someone asks for prayer, you will jump at the chance to pray for them. And when you pray, you will pray with passion. You'll pray probably a lot more than you do just in general. You'll pray with persistence if a person is not instantaneously healed, because you're going to believe God and stand on his promises. You will believe God that he is bigger, that he is greater, that he is healer, if you sow to your faith. Again, you have two ways you can sow. If you sow to your doubt, you will reap that. If you sow to your faith, you'll reap that. So the question is, how do you do that? How do you sow to your faith? How do you sow to your faith? I'm going to give you a bunch of reasons that I really feel like God gave me, some practical ways to do this. And by the way, some of this is not like, well, this is rocket science here, Dan. Some of these things might be new to you, but some of them you'd be like, yeah, I've been there and done that. The question is, are you doing what you think you know? So let me give you a few of them. The first practical way, how do you sow to your faith? This is the way that I phrased it. I wrote, build your faith all week long. Build your faith all week long. In other words, do whatever it takes in your life to build your faith. Go to church every Sunday. It's just an example. It's amazing, as like planting the church, the average American goes to church about 2.5 times a month. Just what you do. I think that when we don't go to church, that's the devil just saying, hey, you need to watch SportsCenter this morning. You need to hit that snooze bar a few more times. It's windy outside. You don't want to go outside. Warm out. We're in Michigan, okay? I could preach on that for half an hour, but it's part of the fall, the cold weather. Here we go. But go to a church, go to your church, go to a church that teaches on healing, especially, that believes in healing, not just in a theoretical sense, but that practices what they preach. Come, that'd be an example. Just go to church, and then a couple days later, come here on Tuesday night. Because guess what? The world beats us up. The worldview, America, everything about, unfortunately, more and more our country is taking us down this path where God's not in it. So we need to do whatever it takes to build our faith. Come on Tuesday nights, make it a non-negotiable. I mean, Kelly and I, back when we had faith as a newborn, we had every excuse in the world to not come. Newborn, tired, exhausted, and we were here week after week after week after week after week after week. Make it a non-negotiable. Build your faith all week long. Here's an example about how I'm building my faith currently. And this is the way that I phrase this one. It may not make much sense at the moment, but this is the way I phrase it. I said, turn off the radio. And here's what I mean by that. It's been, I don't know, probably 6 or 8 months. I felt like, it was probably during Lent, where I felt like God telling me, you need to fast from sports talk radio. Which, that was like, big for me. It's like suffering, you know. But I felt like it was just like there's static and there's noise and there's all this stuff that you don't even need to, like, I love watching sports, but you don't need to like spend a couple hours a day in the car listening to these guys. You just don't. And I felt like there's all this static in my life. And so I felt like God say, turn off sports talk radio until I tell you to turn it back on. He hasn't told me yet, by the way. He may not ever. So I replace that sometimes by just praying while I'm driving just out loud. You know, now with the Bluetooth thing, you can talk out loud and people think you're talking to some. Just talk to God. Put a little thing in your ear if it makes you feel better. But just talk and just you're praying out loud. And one of the things I felt God telling me was play podcasts, sermons that you can download from all across the country of pastors. You can fill your mind with the truth of the Word of God and do that. That's a whole lot more than trying to figure out who the Lions might be trading or the Pistons might be drafting. Fill your mind with the truth of the Word of God and just keep on doing that and keep on doing that. So I was doing that until around November 1st when WOMC or NIC or whatever, it's 100.3 fresh now, right? That's the new kind of thing. But I love Christmas music. And so I turned off my podcast. I'm just kind of getting in like the Christmas spirit. You know, I mean, Josh Groban, Oh Holy Night, that guy is just an amazing singer. And I'm a sucker for Holly Jolly Christmas too by Burl Ives. It's a great song. It's a great song. Put you just in that positive mood. But about 2 weeks ago, I just felt that nudge from God one day, and I'm driving with my radio on, and I felt like he said, turn it off. Turn it off. But here's what I want you to turn on. I sense that as well. Pastor Tim turned me on to Bill Johnson, a pastor. You played, I don't know when it was, Pastor Tim, probably maybe 3-4 years ago, an excerpt from a sermon series from Healing Our Neglected Birthright. And it's a 6-part series. That guy preaches like an hour and a half a sermon. It's unbelievable. So you buy these sermons. I have them on my iPod. And I need to listen to this. So for the past 2 weeks or so, as every time I've been driving, I've been playing an excerpt of Bill Johnson. And it's all about healing. And it's all about just praying for people. He's an amazing Bible teacher. And it's been something, I tell you, I felt as I was driving, as I'm driving around here, I feel my faith building as I'm listening to this guy. So I turned off the radio. I'm not done. I'm on week 6 of his series. Again, it's probably 8 hours of teaching, but right, you sow to your faith. You do whatever it takes during the week to build your faith. Come here on Tuesdays, go to church on the weekend, and feed yourself with truth. And I'll talk more about that in a little bit more. So that's the first way maybe to sow to your faith. And I'm going to share a few more. Just pray that God gives you the one that you need to do. Or maybe it's all 4. I don't know. But the second one is to keep a journal. And again, this is not like a new thought probably for some of you. But here's something that may be new. God commands us over and over again, especially in the Old Testament, to remember. It's a command over. He commands. It's not like a suggestion, a recommendation. God commands us to remember. Why? Because we forget. Here's a quote from The Silence of Adam, the book by Crabb. He says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 tells us explicitly that God created man and woman, quote, in his own image. In the passage, this is what's really cool. In the passage, the word male is translated from the Hebrew word zakar, which means the remembering one. We are the remembering ones. We are created to remember the words of God and the works of God. Love that. He's saying we are Zakar, we are the remembering ones. We are called to remember the words of God and the works of God. He calls us to remember. He commands us over and over to remember because we forget. We forget. So that's where you keep a journal. You keep a journal. You keep an account of how God's been faithful to you. You write down answers to prayer, answers to prayers of you've heard, other people pray of people who have been healed or people you've personally prayed for who have been healed. Because if you don't write it down, you will forget. There was a few, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, probably about the time I started playing the Bill Johnson stuff, and I don't think it was coincidental. We were at our church we're a portable church, so you do the setup, you have this trailer, you have all these road cases, and you're hauling stuff, and it's heavy, and I have a guy on our team who hurt his back. He kind of tweaked his back, he kind of screwed it up earlier in the week and kind of re-injured it, and so I'm just doing one, you know, getting everything ready, and there's a triad, there's a couple, 3 guys praying for this guy, and they invite me in. They say, hey, can you pray? Can you help pray? And I'm like, oh, well, tell me what's wrong. And so he explains, he says, man, I really, my back is killing me, right? I'm like, well, tell me where it's at. And so I said, take my hand and put it right there. So I'm standing, he's like here, and I put my hand right there, and then this other guy standing, puts his hand there. And I said, well, let's go for it right now. Let's pray for you right now. And they're brewing coffee like 5 feet away from me. It wasn't the best location, but we're right in the middle of junior high, but right, it's holy ground. And so I start praying for him, and I feel, and this is not something that happens to me all the time, but I felt as I was praying for him, I had my eyes closed, just right on his back, I felt like my body like went up 20 degrees. And I felt like beads of sweat kind of on my other arm. As like I'm holding my hand here, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on with this hand, but I'm like burning up right now. And by the way, side note, sometimes that's just, it's like people call it the fire god, whatever, but sometimes that's what the Holy Spirit does and just brings heat, and I don't know why, but it happens. And so sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen that way, but I was like hot. And so prayed and got hotter and hotter and got done. I didn't say anything to him. I was like, all right, amen. And I didn't say anything because I didn't want to like lead the witness. You know, he said, man, Dan, when you were praying, like your hand on my back was burning up. And I'm feeling better. I'm like, all right, he does good. God is good. He does good. I'm like, all right, man. So how better are you feeling? It's like, I don't know, I'm feeling a bit better. I'm like, all right, well, you know what? I'm going to continue. Like, let's just kind of keep on doing the setup, and I'm going to keep praying for you. I'm walking up to preach, and this is how focused I was on him. As I'm walking up to preach, I'm walking up, I'm like, hey, man, it's better, isn't it? He's like, yeah, it's actually a little bit better. Even now, I'm like, all right. So I go up and I preach my sermon. I get down, tear down happens. Like 2 hours later, he's like, I got to tell you, he said, and this is the words he says, my back is 95% better. And by the way, this is a guy that is shoot straight. It's not like tell the pastor what he wants to hear kind of guy. Not at all. Not at all. He was simply telling the truth that God was in the process of bringing continual healing to his back. Why? Because there's no back pain in heaven, right? So guess what I need to do then? I need to write that down because I will forget that. I will forget that. He needs to write it down because he'll forget that. He'll forget that. We need to write it down. We need a journal. I need to remember, be a Zakar. Be a remembering one about how God healed. One side note, that guy, this is just amazing. It's a true story. We have a men's group on Saturday. And the following Saturday, this is 5 days later, he's on the prayer team. We're just kind of talking. And he's like, you know, one thing, I mean, we pray every single Sunday for people. But like, why hasn't like God done something like unbelievably like amazing, like right there, like blind eye open kind of right there. You know, man, we're praying for people. And I said, can I ask you a question? Didn't God, like, heal your back 5 days ago? He forgot. And I'm not kidding. He's like, yeah, he did. I'm not making it up for, like, sermon illustration. It's we need to write it down. Third application. And this kind of ties in with part two. Make a big deal when God heals. Luke 5:25, it says, immediately, the paralyzed man, it says, immediately he stood up in front of them. He took what he was lying on. He went home doing what? Praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They're filled with awe, and they said, quote, we have seen remarkable things today. See, we need to be people like that. We need to say, we have seen remarkable things today. See, here's what happens. If you don't dwell, if God heals you and you don't dwell on it, if you don't make a big deal on it, if you don't tell people about it, if you simply kind of get your healing and kind of go about your day, then you aren't sowing to your faith. In fact, here's an example of how this happened. This is kind of a throw me under the bus moment. But just to share how we're in process on this one, about 10 days ago or so, every day I wake up at 4:44. It used to be 4:45 in the morning. I just like back it off a minute to have the 4:44. It's just kind of fun. So my alarm goes off 4:44 every morning, and my office is in my basement for the church. And so I go downstairs, and I spend my time with God. And so I'm reading my Bible, and I hear the pitter-patter of feet above me, and it's probably Faith, our four-year-old, has to go potty, but everyone else in the house is still sleeping, so especially I mean, keep the baby, you know, sleeping. So I go up to make sure Faith, you need to be quiet, you know. And so I come up expecting her to be in the bathroom. She's in the kitchen. She's like, Daddy, my tummy hurts. Daddy, my tummy hurts. And she started off because she's, I need to eat something. And I'm like, I don't think you need to eat something. You need to go. And right at that moment, she started throwing up. Right there on the floor. So Kelly hears the signs of your, or like the sounds of your baby girl, right? Throwing up. And we get up and we're kind of cleaning up now after episode one of this. Kelly now gets her into the bathroom in case there's an episode two. We get like a little pink bucket, you know, and we're kind of cleaning up. And she throws up again, like right, like back to back, a few minutes apart. It's like one of those perks of being a mom and a dad, you know. It's like parent boot camp, you know. And at that moment, it was like there's the two dogs inside of me. The one dog was, she's got the flu. She's going to throw up 10 or 20 more times. You're going to get what she's got. Right? Just feeding that dog. Feeding that dog. And then there's the other dog that said, you need to pray right now. Like right now, in the bathroom, on the bathroom floor, while there's like vomit on the floor, pray like right now. And so we prayed right now. We prayed that moment. We took authority over her body. We said, God, there are no fevers in heaven. There are no stomach viruses in heaven. There's no vomiting. She's in pain. There's no pain in heaven. God, we take authority in her body right now that this is it. And you know what happened? She didn't throw up again. She was done. That was it. I go back downstairs. Kelly goes on the couch with her to keep her up just to make sure everything's cool. But she didn't throw up, did not throw up again. Did not throw up again. But here's what happened. In our minds, and we talk about this afterwards, you immediately go to the natural and you go, well, probably she just ate too many snacks, just had to kind of get it out of her, had to throw up twice, and now everything's fine. You just go right to the natural. Why is a great question. See, it's our American mindset. We're like the pendulum swings to the natural so much. Why are we so quick to accept a natural explanation? Saying, man, it's kind of weird how like we prayed and then she stopped vomiting. You think God had anything to do with that? But in the moment, right, it was just like that seed of faith just got robbed from us because we let it. See, here's a question. If you have the option to decide, why wouldn't you choose in that moment to believe that a miracle took place? Why not? See, after all, if God, now picture this, picture how God might feel. If God did a miracle in that moment and you assigned it to too many cookies, how do you think God would feel about that one? Honestly. And now, here's like a tangent. Even in that instant, let's just say as an example, as an instant, if a miracle did not happen, say it was just too many cookies, say she just had to throw up a couple times to get out of her, just totally natural. Just totally natural. Let's say that was just a possibility there. See, I think God likes it when we give him credit for things anyway. And I was picturing this as a dad. If like Faith or Evelyn, like 4 and 2, it's like it starts snowing outside. Daddy, did you do that? Just think you're like super dad. You're like, great. You're just like, man, my kids love me. Even though I didn't have anything to do with it snowing outside or when, you know, like the sun's setting, it's just like beautiful, beautiful paint. Daddy, did you paint the sky? They just believe so many great things about their daddy that they just give him praise for everything. I think God wants us to do that to him. So in a default mode, just give him the praise. Because you never know. And I would say this. If you pray and a prayer is obviously answered, trust it's an answered prayer. And don't let the devil steal that seed. See, when you receive a healing or a miracle, dwell on it. Make a big deal about it. Tell Facebook about it. Don't get your healing and move on to the next thing. Make a big deal about it. Again, the scripture in Luke 5, the paralyzed man, immediately he stood up in front of them. He took what he had been lying on. He went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They're filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. I hope and pray that we see remarkable things today. Final application. And again, this is not new for you, but it's something that we sometimes think we know, but we don't do it, is get in this book. Get in this book. Fill your mind with truth. We fill our mind with junk. Sometimes just trivia. We just fill our mind with stuff. It's the information age, and most of the information is just, we don't need it. We need this. Paul writes in Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do what? Think about such things. This book fits that. Every one of them. See, there's no better way to do those things than to read the scriptures. And so do that. When you do that, and this is something Pastor Tim taught me, focus on the life of Christ. Every word in that book is the word of God. It's all true. But if you could only read one book, pick a gospel. If you only had time to read two books, pick two gospels. Four books, pick four gospels. Just keep reading on the life of Jesus, because Hebrews 1:3 says that the Son shows us exactly what God is like. That He is the image of the invisible God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, He says. So you focus on Christ. And I did a study one time. I'm like, I'm going to read through the Gospels. It's something maybe fun you could do. It is fun. Count how many times you find that says Jesus healed all who came to Him. I counted 11. There may be more, but that's the ones that I found. Where it doesn't say He just healed some diseases. Some people came to Him. He chose to heal like a few of them. Healed all, every disease. Acts chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, one of my favorite scriptures. It's a summary of the life of Christ. Luke writes, he says, you know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit, with power. And He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. See, when Jesus was doing that, He was simply doing what He prayed, making God's kingdom come and God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In fact, besides the 11 times that I saw where Jesus healed not just some but all, there are, and this is some cool stats, there are 41 distinct instances of Jesus healing people in the four Gospels. A lot of times the stories are kind of are quoted, and there's like in, it's in Matthew, it's in Luke as well, but there are 41 distinct instances of Jesus healing people. Nearly one-fifth of the gospel accounts are devoted to Jesus' healing ministry or His teachings about healing. One-fifth. There are 3,779 verses in the four gospels. 727 of them relate specifically to Jesus healing people. It's crazy. Actually, what's crazy is I grew up and I went to seminary and I like somehow missed those 727 verses. That's what's crazy. So sow to your faith by getting the word. Read the scriptures as much as you can. Again, yeah, Dan, I know that. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? When it comes to praying for people to be healed, we can experience the thrill of victory. We sometimes experience the agony of defeat. And Paul says a man reaps what he sows. He says all of us have a choice to make. We can sow to our faith or we can sow to our doubt. We can sow to our unbelief. My prayer for all of you is that we would be a body that sows to our faith. We make that choice. You can choose what to think about. That we feed our faith and we do whatever it takes. That we choose to remember the stories of the faithfulness of God. Of when God heals people. That's what you remember. We remember the times when our prayers have got answered. That we would experience the thrill of victory more and more and more in our lives. The agony of defeat less and less and less. So the next time that you hear that someone is sick or someone who needs prayer, that you would jump at the chance to pray for them. That you would pray with passion. That you would pray with belief. That you would know that God is good all the time. You would know that it's God's will to heal, that you're going to go after it. Again, you don't heal anyone. It's Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. But my hope and prayer is that this just kind of stirred up something in you. That God got a little bit bigger, maybe a whole lot bigger. That wherever your faith is at, got a little bit bigger. And you'll pray a little bit more bold. God, thanks for Tuesday nights. Thank you for the anointing you give Pastor Tim and Fran. And thank you for this church, this building, God. Thank you for this room. This is holy ground. God, thanks for drawing each person here tonight. They're not here by coincidence or accident. You drew them. And I pray, God, that I'm going to find that scripture that we can say today as a result of what you do today, like they said in Luke 5, verse 26, may we be filled with awe and say we have seen remarkable things today. God, may you bring healing to those who need healing today. May you bring healing to those who have loved ones who need healing today. Thanks, Jesus. Amen.